Welcome to Zichud Daf Siman. I'm Rabbi Avram Goldhar, and today we're Sechus Beya Daf Hey, the first parak Beis Shanal de Biyanta. So the three topics are going to focus on number one on Daf Daladam and Beis. Rav ruled that an egg laid on the first day of Yantav is mutter on the second day of Yantav, since the 2 days are not considered kedusha achas, one long period of holiness. Regarding the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, Rav and Shmuel ruled no de bezeh asur bezeh. An egg laid on the first day of Yantav is prohibited on the second day of Yantav. Rashi explains that these 2 days were certainly established as one long Yantav, as the second day of Yantav was not originally observed on account of doubt. A Mishnah Rosh Hashanah relates that originally Eidus HaChodesh, testimony for the new moon, was accepted the entire day. Once the witnesses were delayed in coming, and assuming that no witnesses would come that day, the Levim erred in the daily shear. Because of this, the sages enacted that Beis would only accept witnesses until the afternoon Tamid was offered, and if witnesses came afterward, Nogin Oso Yom Kodesh L'Machar Kodesh, they would keep that day and the following day Kodesh. We see that a continuous 2-day Rosh Hashanah was decreed when witnesses arrived after the afternoon Tamid. Rabbi said that after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, when Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai enacted the Beis and would accept witnesses for Eidus HaKodesh the entire day, an egg laid on the first day of Rosh Hashanah became permitted on the second day. Rashi explains that since the second day was only now kept out of doubt, the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah were treated like other Yom Tovim, and the egg was permitted because one of its days was actually Chol. Point number two, Rabbi Yosef disputed Rabbi's ruling and said that even from the time Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's Takana and onward, when they accepted witnesses the entire day of Rosh Hashanah, an egg laid on the first day of Rosh Hashanah remained prohibited on the second day. Havi davar shebeminyan v'kol davar shebeminyan sarach minyan achir lahatiro. Because the prohibition on the egg was a law passed by an assembly of sages, and any law passed by ballot requires another ballot to repeal it. Rashi explains that an assembly of sages must formally rescind the enactment even though its rationale no longer exists. Rav Yosef brings three proofs for this principle. The first one based on the pasuk when HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai, Lech imor lehem shuvu lechem leholechem. Go say to them, return to your tents. The Gemara explains that earlier Moshe Rabbeinu had told the Yidden, Hayu nechonim shoshes yamim al tikshu al isha. Be prepared for, after 3 days, do not come close to a woman. Why then was there a need for an explicit directive after the revelation to permit the resumption of relations? We see from here that kol davar shebeminyan sarach minyan achir lahatiro. Rashi on Daf Hey Amud Beis explains that since the HaKadosh Baruch Hu authored the prohibition against marital relations, the prohibition remained in force even though its usefulness elapsed until HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself rescinded it. So too, if a prohibition was enacted by an assembly of sages is needed to repeal it. And point number three, Rav Yosef's third source for kol davar shebeminyan sarach minyan achir lahatiro was from a takana that required all camera vibe, produce of the fourth year, that was within a day's travel to Yerushalayim to be brought up to Yerushalayim and not be redeemed on money. We'll explain that the reason was la'atir shuke Yerushalayim beperos, to adorn the markets of Yerushalayim with fruit. A brace was brought that relates when Rabbi Eliezer wanted to be mafkir's produce for the poor, because it was too difficult for him to take them to Yerushalayim, his Talmidim told him that the decree had been rescinded. The Gemara explains that Rabbi Yosef brought this third proof to demonstrate that even though the enactment to bring the Kamaravai produce to Yerushalayim was from the Rabbanan, and not like the first two, which were derisives enacted by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it still required Beis Din to rescind the Takana. So once again, the 3 points are number one. And Daf Daled Amud Beis, Rav ruled that an egg laid on the first day of Yantav is mutter on the second day of Yantav, since the 2 days are not considered Kedusha Achas, one long period of holiness. Regarding the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, Rav and Shmuel ruled, Nol de bezeh asur bezeh, an egg laid on the first day of Yantav is prohibited on the second day of Yantav. Rashi explains that these 2 days were certainly established as one long Yantav, as the second day of Yantav was not originally observed on account of doubt. A Mishnah relates that originally Eidus HaChodesh, testimony for the new moon, was accepted the entire day. Once the witnesses were delayed in coming, and assuming that no witnesses would come that day, the Levim erred in the daily shear. Because of this, the sages enacted the Beis and would only accept witnesses until the afternoon Tamid was offered. And if witnesses came afterward, Nogin Oso Yom Kodesh L'Machar Kodesh, they would keep that day and the following day Kodesh. We see that a continuous 2-day Rosh Hashanah was decreed when witnesses arrived after the afternoon Tamid. Rabbi said that after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, when Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai enacted that Beis would accept witnesses for Eidus HaKodesh the entire day, an egg laid on the first day of Rosh Hashanah became permitted on the second day. Rashi explains that now, since the second day was kept only out of doubt, the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah were treated like other Yom Tovim, and the egg was permitted because one of the days was actually Chol. Point number two, Rabbi Yosef disputed Rabbi's ruling and said that even from the time Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's Takana and onward, when they accepted witnesses the entire day of Rosh Hashanah, an egg laid on the first day of Rosh Hashanah remained prohibited on the second day. Havi davar shebeminyan v'kol davar shebeminyan sarach minyan achir lahatiro. Because the prohibition on the egg was a law passed by an assembly of sages, and any law passed by a ballot requires another ballot to repeal it. Rush explains that an assembly of sages must formally rescind the enactment, even though its rationale no longer exists. Rav Yosef brings three proofs for this principle. The first one based on the pasuk when HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai, Lech emor lehem, shuvu lechem lohalechem. Go say to them, return to your tents. The Gemara explains that earlier Moshe Rabbeinu had told the Yidden, Hey yinuchonim l'shoshes yamim al tigshol isha. Be prepared for after 3 days, do not come close to a woman. Now why then was there a need for an explicit directive after the revelation to permit the resumption of relations? We see from here that kol davish b'minyan tzarech minyan achir la'atiro. Rashi on Daf Hey Amud Beis explains that since the Kodesh Baruch Hu authored the prohibition against marital relations, the prohibition remained in force even though its usefulness elapsed until Kodesh Baruch Hu himself rescinded it. So too, if a prohibition was enacted by assembly of sages, an assembly of sages is needed to repeal it. And pointing with Rabbi Yosef's third source for kol davish b'minyan tzarech minyan achir la'atiro was from a takana that required all kerem ravai, produce of the fourth year, that was within days travel to Yerushalayim to be brought up to Yerushalayim and not be redeemed on money. Ul explained that the reason was atir shuka Yerushalayim beperos, to adorn the markets of Yerushalayim with fruit. A brice was brought that relates that when Rabbi Eliezer wanted to be mafkir his produce for the poor, because it was too difficult for him to take them to Yerushalayim, his Talmidim told him that the decree had been rescinded. The Gemara explains that Rav Yosef brought his third proof to demonstrate that even though the enactment to bring the kerem ravai produce to Yerushalayim was from the Rabbanan, and not like the first two, which were derises enacted by Kodesh Baruch Hu, it still required Beis Din to rescind the Takana. All right, so now we go to our Simmer Daf Hay, and our standard Simmon is Hay, or Hay Stacks, or Hay Rides. So here goes. The two witnesses on their way to give Eidus HaChodesh were delayed when they got stuck in a procession of hayrides carrying families back from their trip to a mountain, as well as by hordes of locals carrying their kerem ravai up to Yerushalayim. Once again, in slow motion. The two witnesses on their way to give Eidus HaKodesh were delayed when they got stuck in a procession of hayrides. Hayrides? That must be on Daf Hey. The two witnesses on their way to give Eidus HaKodesh were delayed, which reminds us that on Daf Dalet Amud Beis, Rav ruled that an egg laid on the first day of Yontif is mutter on the second day of Yontif, since the 2 days are not considered Kedusha Achas, one long period of holiness. Regarding the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, Rav and Shmuel ruled, Nolda Bezeh, Asur Bezeh, an egg laid on the first day of Yontif is prohibited on the second day of Yontif. Rashi explains that these 2 days were certainly established as one long Yontif, as the second of Yontif was not originally observed on account of doubt. Rather, a continuous 2-day Rosh Hashanah was decreed when witnesses arrived after the afternoon Tamid. Rabbi said that after the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, when Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai enacted the basin would accept witnesses for Eidus HaKodesh the entire day, an egg laid on the first day of Rosh Hashanah became permitted on the second day. Rashi explains that since the second day was now only kept out of doubt, the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah were treated like other Yom Tovim, and the egg was permitted because one of the days was actually chol. So the two witnesses on their way to give Eidus HaKodesh were delayed when they got stuck in a procession of hayrides, carrying families back from their trip to a mountain. Which reminds us, Rabbi Yosef disputed Rabbi's ruling and said even from the time of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's Takana and onward, when they accepted witnesses the entire day of Rosh Hashanah, an egg laid on the first day of Rosh Hashanah remains prohibited on the second day. Because the prohibition on the egg was a law passed by an assembly of sages, and any law passed by a ballot requires another ballot to repeal it. Rashi explains that an assembly of sages must formally rescind the enactment, even though its rationale no longer exists. Rav Yosef brings three proofs for this principle, the first one based on the pasuk when Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai to tell Bnei Yisrael to return to their tents, when earlier, before the revelation, Bnei Yisrael were told to separate from their wives. So the two witnesses on their way to give Eidus HaKodesh were delayed when they got stuck in a procession of hayrides carrying families back from their trip to a mountain, as well as by hordes of locals carrying their kerem ravai up to Yerushalayim. Which reminds us, Rav Yosef's third source for kol davish b'minyan tzarech minyan achir la'atiro was from a takana that required all kerem ravai produced in the fourth year that was within a day's travel to Yerushalayim to be brought up to Yerushalayim and not be redeemed on money. Ul explained that the reason was la'atir shuk Yerushalayim beperos, to adorn the markets of Yerushalayim with fruit. A brice was brought that relates that when Rabbi Eliezer wanted to be mafkir's produce for the poor, because it was too difficult for him to take them to Yerushalayim, his Talmidim told him that the decree had been rescinded. And the Gemara explains that Rav Yosef brought this third proof to demonstrate that even though the enactment to bring the kerem ravai produce to Yerushalayim was from the Rabbanan, and not like the first two which were derises enacted by Kodesh Baruch Hu, it still required Beis Din to rescind the Takana. So once again, the two witnesses on their way to give Eidus HaKodesh were delayed when they got stuck in a procession of hayrides carrying families back from their trip to a mountain, as well as by hordes of locals carrying their kerem ravai up to Yerushalayim. All right, now it's time for a four blah back Chazara. Daf Nun Vav. So the Simmer Daf Nun Vav is the Shusher and Shul going, Nu Nu, Nu Nu. So here goes. The Shusher and the Sukkah Shusher. That must be more on Daf Nun Vav, Nu Nu. The Shusher and the Sukkah shushed everyone down so they could hear the Shehecheyanu before the Leishah B'Sukkah, which reminds us of the Machlokes regarding which takes precedence, the Baruch on the Sukkah or the Shehecheyanu. Rav says that one recites the Leishah B'Sukkah because he holds Chiyuv D'Yom Ha'Adif, the obligation of the day takes precedence, whereas Rabbi Barchana said that one recites the Shehecheyanu first because he holds Tadir Sheinu Tadir, Tadir Kodim, when that which is frequent conflicts with that which is not frequent, that which is frequent takes precedence. The Gemara attempts to connect this Machlokes to the Machlokes between Beisham Beis Hillel regarding which comes first when reciting Kiddush on Shabbos, the Baruch on the one and the Baruch on the day, but concludes that they're not necessarily the same Machlokes. So the Shusher and the Sukkah shushed everyone down so they could hear the Shehecheyanu before the Leishah B'Sukkah, and insisted on getting one extra roll for closing the Sukkah door, which reminds us, the final mission of the Masechta brings Machlokes regarding the division on the Lechem Panim the rest of the year. The Tanakhama holds that the incoming Mishmar and the outgoing Mishmar split the Lechem Panim equally, with each Mar receiving 6 loaves. Rabbi Yehuda holds that the incoming Mishmar receives 7 loaves and the outgoing Mishmar receives 5 loaves. According to Rabbi Yehuda, the 2 loaves are granted as Schar Hagafas Dlasos, as compensation for the closing the temple gates in the evening, meaning that those who open the gates in the morning should have had the duty to complete the job and close them at night. Since the incoming Mishmar is doing the work of the outgoing Mishmar, it behooves the outgoing Mishmar to give one of their loaves in payment. So the Shusher and the Sukkah who shushed everyone down so they could hear the Shehecheyanu before the Leishah B'Sukkah and insisted on getting one extra roll for closing the Sukkah door was horrified when his little son told all the guests that people should stand in the presence of a Shusher. Which reminds us, 2 reasons are given as to why the Mishmar of Bilga was penalized in that it always divided the Lechem Panim in the south. Its specific ring that was used to shech the carbon during its watch was sealed, so they had to use another Mishmar's ring, and its specific alcove to deposit the knives was sealed. It was either due to an incident involving Miriam Bas Bilga, a daughter of one of its members who became an apostate, or it was because the Mishmar was tardy in coming to the base of Migdash when it was their week to serve. The Gemara asks on the first reason if it's fair that the entire family be penalized over one daughter's action, and by answers that it is, as people say, Shusa denuka b'shuka oda abu odime. The utterances of a child in public express the views of either his father or mother. When the Gemara persists, and that's why the whole Mishmar should be penalized, by answers, oy la rasha, oy la shchino. Woe to the wicked one, and woe to his neighbor. The Gemara concludes, conversely, tov la tzadik, tov la shchino. It will be good for the tzadik, and good for his neighbor. Daf base. So the Simmer daf base is a house. So here goes. The kids were jumping for joy all over the house. House, that must be on Daf Beis. The kids were jumping for joy all over the house when they discovered that their hen laid an egg on Yantav, which reminds the opening mission of the Masechta states, Be'er shenol de b'yantav be'shamei omrim te'achil, be'sil omrim o te'achil. Concerning egg that was laid in Yantav, be'shamei say it may be eaten on Yantav, and be'sil say it may not be eaten. The Gemara asks, what type of hen are we dealing with? Rav Nachman said that the Mishnah refers to a hen that was omeretz l'gadol beitzim, that was designated to produce eggs, and the one who subscribes to a broad application of the laws of Muksa, referring to Rabbi Yehuda, subscribes to also to the prohibition of Nolad, while the one who rejects a broad application of Muksa laws, referring to Rabbi Shimon, also rejects a prohibition of Nolad. Beis Shammai permit one to eat the egg because they hold like Rabbi Shimon, who does not hold of Nolad, whereas Beis Hillel forbid it because they hold like Rabbi Yehuda, who does hold of Nolad. So the kids were jumping for joy all over the house when they discovered that their hen laid an egg on Yantav. Were dismayed when they were told by an anonymous rabbi who was more machmir on Yantav, which reminds the Gemara asks why Rebbe who formulate the Stam Mishnayos formulate those in Shabbos more leniently, like Rabbi Shimon, whereas those regarding Yantav be formulated according to the more stringent view of Rabbi Yehuda. The Gemara answers regarding Shabbos, whose laws are more restrictive, and so people will not come to treat it disrespectfully. Rebbe formulate a Stam Mishnah according to Rabbi Shimon, who is more lenient. However, regarding Yantav, whose laws are somewhat more liberal, and so people will come to treat it disrespectfully, Rebbe formulate a Stam Mishnah according to Rabbi Yehuda, who is more stringent. So the kids who were jumping for joy all over the house when they discovered that their hen laid an egg on Yantav were dismayed when they were told by an anonymous rabbi, who was more machmir on Yantav, that it was forbidden to eat, since it had been prepared the day before, on Shabbos. Which reminds us, Rabbi's explanation of the Mishnah is that we're actually dealing with a tarnagolas or medes l'achila, a hen that was designated for consumption and is therefore not muksa. And we're discussing a case of an egg that was laid on Yantav that fell after Shabbos. And Beis Hillel prohibits its consumption, mishum hachana, because of the principle of preparation. For Rabbi holds that any egg laid today became fully formed inside the hen yesterday. And Rabbi follows his own reasoning, for he said, that which is written by Yabba Yom HaShishi Be'echinu Asher Yaviyu, and it will be on the 6th day that they shall prepare the man which they bring, which teaches us that Chol Mechin L'Shabbos V'Chol Mechin L'Yantav. A weekday prepares for Shabbos and a weekday prepares for Yantav, but Yantav cannot prepare for Shabbos, nor can Shabbos prepare for Yantav. Beis Hillel therefore prohibit an egg laid on Yantav since its preparation occurred on Shabbos. Daf Gimel. So the Simmer Daf Gimel is a Gemal, a camel. So here it goes. The camel rider, that must be Ron Daf Gimel, Gemal. The camel rider trying to dodge fruit, falling from a tree, and stepping in puddles of flowing juice. Which reminds the Gemara brings two more explanations for the Mishnah on why an egg laid on Yantiv is prohibited. Rav Yosef said, Gezer Mishum Peres Anoshin is a Gezer because it resembles fruit that falls from a tree on Yantiv, which is prohibited by a decree lest one actually climb a tree and pick a fruit. And Rabbi Yitzchak said, Gezer Mishum Mashkin Shazabu. The egg laid on Yantiv is prohibited because it resembles juice that flowed on Yantiv, which is prohibited because it might lead one to actually squeeze the fruits on Yantiv and transgress the Malach of Dash, threshing. So, the camel rider trying to dodge fruit falling from a tree and stepping in puddles of flowing juice suddenly knows an egg on the road labeled half food, half fruit. Which reminds us, the Gemara asks why Rav Yosef didn't explain the Mishnah like Rabbi Yitzchak, and answers that Rav Yosef would say an egg is food and fruits are food in contrast to juice, which is not a food but a liquid. The Gemara asks why Rabbi Yitzchak did not explain the Mishnah like Rabbi Yosef, and answers that Rabbi Yitzchak would say an egg is absorbed in the hen and issues forth, and juice is absorbed in its peel and issues forth, in contrast to fruits, which are already exposed even before they become detached from their place of growth. So, the camel rider trying to dodge fruit falling from a tree and stepping in puddles of flowing juice suddenly noticed an egg on the road labeled half food, half fruit, and was a suffix whether it had been laid on Yantiv. Which reminds the Gemara, why is an egg that was a suffix whether it was laid on Yantiv usher according to Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Yitzchak? Why should the suffix be usher since kol suffix the rabban lakula? Every suffix the rabban is lakula. After considerable analysis, the Gemara brings Rav Ashi and Dav Dalet Amud Aleph, who explains that the egg is forbidden because it is a davar she'eshel matirin, an item that will become permitted, meaning after Yantiv, but called davar she'eshel matirin afil b'dor rabban lobatil, and any item that will become permitted, even if it's now prohibited in the rabbanin, cannot become nullified in a mixture. Rashi explains that just as we're machmir in a mixture, we're also machmir in a case of a suffix. Daf Dalet. So the Simmer Daf Dalet is a door. So here goes. The hen hanging out by the door, that must be one Daf Dalet. The hen hanging out by the door with its egg, waiting to see if it was going to be eaten at the meal, which reminds us, it was taught in Braisa, Chaim say in the name of Eliezer, Beitza te'achel hi be'ima. An egg that was laid in Yantiv may be eaten both it and its mother hen. Rabbi Zera says that the Braisa means te'achel agav ima, that the egg may be eaten on account of its mother, which Rashi explains to mean that if the hen is eaten, then the egg may be eaten. Abaya clarified that the case is when one purchases the hen before Yantiv for no divine purpose. If he shacked it on Yantiv, then the hen has been determined to have been designated for consumption, and the egg is permitted. If it was not shechted, then it's been determined that it was designated to produce eggs, and so the hen and the egg are muksa. So the hen hanging out by the door with its egg, waiting to see if it was going to be eaten at the meal, was startled when a tree branch fell into the oven, which reminds us, Rav Masna said, if branches fell from a palm tree directly into an oven in Yantiv, one may add onto them other wood that had been prepared for kindling and may burn them. Gemara explains that since the majority of the wood is not muksa, when he moves the wood around, he's moving only permitted wood. Rashi explains that the muksa is batel barov, it's nullified in the majority. When the Gemara further questions why this is permissible, given the rule that ein mevatlin issur chetchila, we do not deliberately nullify a prohibited item, it answers that this rule only applies to the rices, not to the rabbanans. And being that the wood is being burned up in the fire, it's also not a problem of davar she'eshel matirin. So the hen hanging out by the door with its egg, waiting to see if it was going to be eaten at the meal, was startled when a tree branch fell into the oven, where food was cooking for the family, made sure to observe Yom Tov Sheni with a festive meal. Which reminds the Gemara why we observe 2 days of Yom Tov in Gaulis. Now that we know when Rosh Chodesh is established, referring to the knowledge that was gleaned from the fixed calendar introduced by Hillel, the final Nasi at the end of the Amoraic era. The Gemara answers, it's because of the following message that was sent from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, Hizaharu b'minhag avosechem yedechem, be careful to perpetuate the custom of your fathers that's in your hands, and continue to observe 2 days of Yom Tov. For someday, the Gentile government may issue a decree forbidding Limud Torah, because you'll subsequently forget the intricacies of calculating Rosh Chodesh, you'll come to error. Rashi explains that mistakes and calculations could ultimately lead to eating chametz on Pesach. All right, so that concludes today's shir. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldman Zichron wishing a great day and great learning.